Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Only in Law School podcast presented by Comedians at Law. I am your host, Matt Ritter, and with me today is Joan Weisblatt.
Hello, how are you?
So for those of you who haven't heard Joan before, haven't listened to the previous Comedians at Law podcast, Joan, why don't you give yourself a little intro to the new Only in Law School listeners?
Oh, okay. Well, I was a lawyer for 30 years. I practiced asbestos law as a defense attorney. And after 30 years of terrible unhappiness, but making good money, I decided to retire and became a comedian. So that's basically my life.
And, you know, I think we all sort of have an idea of, like, we just see those asbestos commercials everywhere. Like, what is an asbestos case look like? What is that really?
Well, an asbestos case is one in which someone gets sick after 15 to 20 years from the time of their exposure. And so they're very sad, very depressing cases. And I don't think that's what our show is about, right? We're trying to have fun.
Yeah, okay. I just always am curious, like, what it's so people get really sick from asbestos, huh?
Well, yeah, people get really sick.
But they're they're not using it anymore, right?
Well, they are in certain contexts, yes. They are using it in other parts of the world still, in sometimes in the United States as well. But most of the exposure cases are from a long time ago.
Right. So, like, we realized it was terrible, so now we're just shipping off all of our asbestos to the third world.
Exactly.
Nice. Like we do with the old Super Bowl t-shirts and stuff.
Isn't that capitalism? I mean, that's what we're all about.
That is what we're all about. And so, do you have any funny law school stories, you know, from your experience? We like to, you know, give each of our own unique perspectives on law school.
Well, I do have, you know, mind you, this was a very, very long time ago, kind of in the Stone Age, but my parents paid for at least the first year of my law school education and were very, very interested in seeing how I was doing. My father decided to come to class, to my property class to be exact, and when I introduced him to the teacher, to the professor, and we all sat down and class began, the professor welcomed me back to class. He said he hadn't seen me since the first day and was hoping that I'd be able to catch up on the material. That wasn't nice, but...
He called you out right in front of your dad.
He called me out right in front of the payor.
Yeah, what happened? Did your dad cut you off right there at the pass?
Yes, as I said, just the first year was paid for. After that, I was on my own. So, I got found out early.
I don't think they have Bring Your Father to Work Day anymore at law school, do they?
Oh, it was a big mistake. I would never recommend it to anyone. Did you pay for law school?
Ugh, did I or am I still paying for it?
Well, did you and are you still?
Yes and yes.
Yeah, yeah. I paid for law school for many, many years. In fact, my husband always says to me, Joni, I married you for your money, but where's the money?
Yeah, he made a mistake on that money. Yeah, he thought he was getting the sugar mama.
That's right, exactly. Instead, he got law school debt.
Yeah, he married you and Sally Mae.
It hangs around for a long time.
Ah, this is good news, our law student listeners. Hanging around.
Yep.
So we had some fun stories this week. Why don't we jump into a couple of these stories?
All right, sounds great.
So this first story is funny to me because I'm against wearing shorts in general. I don't like it. I don't know. It's like a stupid old school thing. I just don't like. I don't know. Like the way. I don't know. People look in shorts. I don't like the way I look in shorts. Never to wear them. Apparently, some judge agreed with me because a Dallas lawyer wore shorts to court because he has a leg brace and tubes to connect to an ice machine that reduces swelling in his leg.
Yeah, and that ice machine issue just really cracks me up because. It could be so multi-purpose, you know, for drinking soda and iced tea and stuff, don't you think?
He basically has a cooler attached to his leg. He's like the bionic man slash, you know, great tailgater.
Yeah, exactly. Although he could have, you know, truth be told, he could have gone to Big and Tall and gotten himself a pair of fat pants.
Yeah, and just hidden them underneath there.
Right. The whole
cooler. Instead, he decided to wear shorts to court, and the judge... refused to allow him into the courtroom.
I just, what do you think? I think she was being slightly petty, don't you?
Well, I do, but at the same time, the flip side of me is I don't like people looking unprofessional. Look, we're now comedians. We can dress however we want.
Yes.
We can do whatever we want. But I was forced to wear a suit to work, you know?
Yeah, but you know what? I like to think of judges as compassionate, even though they probably aren't. But it would have been nice if she accommodated him. I mean, just because you have knobby knees doesn't mean the rest of us do.
Yeah, but was it Casual Fridays?
Oh, well, it didn't mention it in the article. That's a good point. Do they have Casual Friday in court? I don't really think
I
they
don't
do.
know, but if they had Casual Fridays, that would be one thing. But I think look, court is one of the last few places. Like, can we act like grown-ups?
Well, sort of like my cousin Vinny, it was like going to court in that suit. That's
Yeah, in that beautiful Auburn tux.
exactly.
Look, yes, you should. I get no. I don't know. I'm sticking to my guns on this. You can't wear shorts to court.
Okay, I think you're being very hard-hearted, but that's okay.
Because I get to wear shorts every day now as a comic. So,
Oh, yeah.
tough luck. If you want to wear shorts, open a surf shop.
Well, don't you think that the person whom he was representing had a right to have him represent him in court?
No, but here's the thing. How long was that court trip?
What do you mean, how long was the court trip?
I'm saying he couldn't have taken off the brace for an hour.
Oh, well, I don't know. Maybe his doctor recommended it 24 hours a day. I'm assuming that as an officer of the court, that he was using his best judgment and trying to represent his client in the best way that he could.
Yeah, no, in truth, I am messing with the guy. I feel like if you had surgery and you have to be in court, you should be allowed to. I mean, casts look ridiculous, and you're allowed to bring those into the courtroom.
Right.
They do look pretty stupid, don't they, casts?
Yeah, casts are ridiculous. I've never had a cast. Have you?
I had one, and I didn't have to, pretty embarrassing. I don't think anyone signed it. I don't know. Maybe I thought I had a lot of friends in high school, but nobody signed my cast, so I guess that means I didn't.
Well, that's how you test your popularity. That's
Yeah.
very, very, I feel very bad for you about.
Wait, but is it bring your own marker? Because maybe I always blamed it on the fact that I never brought a Sharpie in, I never drew attention to it.
Well, you know what? I never did that. I try to attract attention in other ways, like wearing my orthodontic night brace to school, but nobody had to sign that.
Yeah, no, the night brace is a real attention getter, and the not the positive kind.
No, but I wasn't into positive attention then,
Wait, so
so.
did we just realize that I wasn't popular in high school because nobody signed my cast?
I guess so. I
This,
guess so. Did
this.
you have a an autograph book, or were those just for girls?
I don't. No, I never had an autographed book. So,
Yeah. Okay. Well.
anyway, so listen. Maybe we'll give this guy a pass if it was 24 hours after surgery, but if it's anything past that, take your brace off and take your jet pack off for an hour.
Maybe so.
Yeah.
Maybe so.
Should we move on to this next story?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I don't know if you remember or if our listeners remember when this happened, but back several months ago, a man went into the U.S. Supreme Court during the oral argument of a patent case and yelled out, "Money is not speech." Which, of course, has nothing to do with patents, but has everything to do with Citizens United and with the McCutcheon case that was recently decided by the U.S. Supreme Court. Now, to add insult to injury, someone took in a pen recorder and recorded this man yelling at the Supreme Court that money is not speech. And so he was immediately arrested, and he was put in jail overnight. What do you think about that, Matt?
Well, I'm furious with the McCutcheon ruling and Citizens United. So, on principle, I like that there are people. I like that there's at least one person willing to speak his mind on this.
Right. Because the rest of us are wusses, right?
We are. The fact that we allow these kinds of rulings, the fact that we even let these nine justices make these rulings, and they're all petty. These nine guys are petty people with personal gripes and beefs, and they don't even, you know, like, I don't know if you saw this week, Alito was recusing himself from a case, the Arrow case, and then he not unrecused himself. I mean, these people are not, I don't put them on the pedestal that others do.
Yes, well, after so many years of practicing law, I think I'm with you.
You know, so for me, it's like, I think the, you know, McCutcheon case and the Citizens United case are destroying the fabric of our country, which is democracy, which is that, you know, the powerful elite, moneyed elite shouldn't be able to dominate so strongly.
Well, I agree with you, and at least five other people in this country do, and they're all sitting on the court.
Yeah. Yeah, and you know, so as to the question of whether you should shout it out in court, I don't know. I mean, I don't know. I haven't really. Should he go to jail for that?
But it's a slippery slope because what if you fart in court? Do you think that that's okay?
Well, I have terrible gas, so I would give a pass on gas.
You would pass gas.
Pass gas, but I would also give a pass on gas.
Ah, I see.
You know, what is the rule here? You're not allowed to.
You can't harangue the court on court property.
But he just said money is not speech one time. I mean, it was not really a harangue, and it's the shortest harangue I've ever heard.
Right. But you're right. It was a short harangue. But truly, if you sanction that, when I say sanction, I mean go along with rather than punish. Yeah. If you go along with it, then what will the court have to go along with next?
Well, I like the way they do it in England where they just call each other morons.
Right. Don't you love that?
Idiot.
Nobody holds it, you know, that nobody pulls punches. Everybody just says idiot.
Right.
Exactly.
But I think that's part of the problem here, right? We're so civil. And we say, well, you know, these people, the Supreme Court is a hallowed ground, but all their rulings are terrible.
Yes. So we have to find some way to show our displeasure.
Right. And, you know, look, maybe it's better that he got arrested because it brings more attention to it.
Well, the thing is, though, that the guy, he sort of messed things up a little bit for himself. He did enter into a plea deal eventually, and he has been barred from the court for 6 months.
How much does this guy hang out at court?
I'm sorry, he's been barred from the court for a year, not for 6 months. Originally, they offered him a deal to stay away from the court for 6 months, but he refused to take it. And then when he decided that he would take it, it was off the table, and the judge said, tough noogies, you can't come back to the U.S. Supreme Court for a year.
He must really like to harangue over there.
Well, he's part of an organization called 99 Rise, which is an activist group. And so I'm sure that, you know, going into the court and haranguing is probably one of his, you know, more pleasurable leisure activities.
I mean, the way that we're describing all this, it's making it seem more fun to me. I never really thought about going to the Supreme Court to harangue, but I don't know, just the word harangue, it gets me excited.
It does. I think there should be haranguing field trips. You know,
yeah, like teach kids how to harangue at an early age.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, my mom used to say, stop haranguing me, actually.
I didn't know what she was talking about.
Because I used to pester her about, I don't know what, but she'd always be on the phone or something, and I'd be pestering her.
My mother used to call me an ingrate, and I didn't know what she meant either. Do you know what an ingrate is?
Yeah, my mom's called me an ingrate for a very long time.
I thought she was calling me a horrible person. She was just calling me someone who was ungrateful. Why couldn't she just say you're ungrateful?
Yeah, ingrate. It's got a nice ring. It's got a nice ring to it.
I think it's a Jewish mother thing.
Frank. Yeah, for sure. And happy Easter, by the way, to everybody
out
there.
To you too, and to all of our listeners, happy Passover and happy Easter.
Yeah, I kept the Passover until this morning when I had a nice Easter brunch filled with bacon.
Ah, well, you know what? After a while, you just can't stay away.
6 days is enough. 8 days is getting a little out of hand.
I know. And why do there have to be? Did you have two? Did you go to a Seder first?
I went to two of them. It's ridiculous.
Yeah. All right. We only do one. So, and one isn't.
I say one Seder. I want to make an amendment to the Seder. One Seder, 6 days.
Absolutely. And that's it. You know, my son goes to Cardozo Law School, and although he doesn't like when I talk about him, I will say that his school has been off since last, I don't know, Thursday or Friday, and won't resume until next
So
Wednesday.
this is their big 10-day week. But
Exactly.
that stinks because, maybe a lot of people don't want to go away during Passover.
Right, except that if you're not terribly religious, and we're not, he just had a nice week off, so.
Yeah, that is nice. And then for Easter, most people are with their families. Well, that's cool. I don't remember if we did that at Penn, but so what do you think about this? Back to the case at hand. Do you think he should have been arrested for saying money is
Well, I think that if, I
not
think,
speech.
yeah, I don't think he should have been arrested. I mean, I think that maybe he should have been taken out of the courtroom and warned. I really think that the thing they had the problem with was the pen camera, and that I can understand.
Yeah, we just bought a spy camera for my dog.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
Why? What is your dog molesting children, or what's with your dog?
We don't know what she does when we're not around, so who knows what she could be up to.
She could be a pedo dog.
She could be luring little kids into our apartment when we're not here. I
Better
don't know
keep.
what she does,
Yeah.
but I'm gonna find out.
Yes.
So
Absolutely.
I want to know from our Only Law School and Comedians in Law listeners, I want to know what you guys think of protesters in the court. But I also want to know what you think about money and speech. About the McCutcheon ruling. We haven't really heard from our listeners about that. Do you think the McCutcheon ruling was accurate? Was it the right ruling? Do you think we're just at the point where every corporation, every person should be able to spend and get their voice heard? Are corporations, people with a voice?
These are great topics of conversation.
They are. I mean, it drives me nuts, but if you feel the opposite, I want to hear a valid argument because I didn't hear a good one from Roberts in the court.
Well, I agree with you.
Anyway, so I want to give a shout out. Let's give a shout out to some of our new followers, like we always do. I'm looking on Only in Law School. JT Smith, Christina Bella Castro, CM Law Admission, Amber Smith at Lincoln Law School, Lala Legalese and Lace. Let's see, Samuel Wolf Dufresne, Learn Leo. Let's see who else. Talal Al Sub, Yazan Isuf, Michael Lawrence Lau, Josh Eason, Nurani Abdullah. We did pretty well this week.
I'll say we
That
got
was
a
just on Only in Law School. We had quite a few more on Comedians in Law as well. We had Ed Pohl, Alina Sklar, Louisville Law School, BU Pre-Law Society,
excellent.
and your boy Omo Ibafo.
People didn't know what they were missing, and now they can find out.
Yeah, now they can find out, and you can book us for summer events. If you're a law firm having a summer party, if you're a law school, and you're doing summer stuff, and if you, what else can they book us for?
We'll do CLE classes for them. We'll prepare vignettes for them. We'll, if they ask us, we will do.
Yeah, we do children's birthday parties too.
Yes.
Never forget. We will do that. So coming up next, we have a really good interview with Nikhil Nirmal. He founded Law Dingo, which is a really cool site. It's kind of like where you're gonna go to find lawyers in the future. You're not gonna go word of mouth or like looking them up on Google anymore. So that's really cool.
That sounds very interesting.
Yeah. So it was great podcast this week, Joan.
Yep, terrific. Great talking to you, and thank you, audience.
Okay, bye-bye.
Yeah, bye-bye.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the podcast. We have a very special guest today. He is a founder of a legal startup called Law Dingo. I don't want to be the guy who tries to explain it, so I will let him do that. Welcome to the podcast, Nikhil Nirmal.
Thanks, Matt. Sure. So I'm the founder of Law Dingo. Law Dingo gives people access to lawyers online. So for all those times you need a lawyer and you don't know what to do, now you can come to the site and in a few clicks you've got a lawyer on the phone, and in a few more clicks you can hire a lawyer. So it's a lot easier for people. And for we target solo and small practice lawyers, and for them it's a great way to build a practice by getting clients who may be located anywhere throughout the states in which they're licensed.
So let's back up for a second. So you let's talk. You went to Wharton.
Yeah, I did my undergrad at Wharton.
And how did you end up in this sort of tech world and legal space?
Yeah, I've been interested in tech and startups for quite a while I was in school, and then joined a startup that was started at Penn called Yodel, and they were doing a lot of lead generation and marketing services for lawyers and for doctors and for other similar businesses. So I've been sort of like in this connecting people with small businesses space for about 5 years or so before I started this. And then I joined Yelp and did a bunch of their data analysis. So I've been like, looking at how people are connecting with small businesses for quite a while. As for how I got into, this particular space, I was, thinking about various startup ideas, and I was kind of trying to figure out some of the legal issues surrounding some of them. So I was trying to find a lawyer and found that it was an insanely annoying process. So I had the idea of just like clicking a button and having a lawyer right away.
So let me get this straight. So while you were trying to come up with an idea for a startup, you were thinking about the legal implications of it, and that's how you stumbled into the idea?
Yeah, pretty much.
That's funny.
So I didn't do the other ideas, and I did this one instead because this is better than my other ideas.
I like that. I feel like that's like the story behind great ideas. Kind of like stumble into them ass backwards. But so I tend to think that the law space has been ripe for disruption for a long time. Would you agree with that? Or
yeah, it's very ripe. It's overripe.
Yeah. I mean, right now, I guess the process is pretty word of mouthy. I mean, I'm trying to think of how people get lawyers. Word of mouthy or Google? I'm not even sure.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. Word of mouth is certainly big. Usually you don't want to ask around for a lawyer because it's like you got a DUI or you're divorcing your wife or something. It's kind of like private. But yeah, and your friends may not, they probably don't know like a good, whatever kind of lawyer you need. And then Google's a big source of finding a lawyer, but you still have to go to a bunch of, poorly made websites and call them and schedule an appointment and see if they have availability and see if they'll help you and how much they charge and all that stuff. And that can be, time consuming. So we sort of standardize the process and sort of put all the lawyers in one place, and you can see the prices and you can see their background and their availability and so on.
Is there, just to play devil's advocate, is the concern, I'm sure you've thought through all the concerns, but is the biggest one being that I don't trust the internet for lawyers?
Concerned about our state?
Just in general. I just mean, I'm just thinking as somebody who, I want to hire a lawyer, I want to know them. How do you address that?
Yeah, we do our best to show you information about them. We've got ratings and reviews of everyone who's like from everyone who's talked to them, so I think that sort of alleviates that for the most part. I would say that for a lot of legal issues, you kind of just need some lawyer to deal with it, because it's kind of like a routine thing that any lawyer can do. So if you just need someone to like file something for you or to review a document or something, we'll find someone who has experience doing just that. And usually that works for people.
So are you kind of occupying the space between LegalZoom and hiring a lawyer face to face? Is that that's basically your domain?
Yeah. Cause like people use LegalZoom, which, is sort of cookie cutter, not very customized service. And then you can go to a law firm or something. Or if you want that personalized service, but still have a lower cost, that's where we fit in.
It seems like a pretty cool, thing for consumers, but it also seems like it's pretty cool for lawyers.
Yeah, it's really hard to build a law practice if you're working by yourself or in a small firm, because you have to compete against, as you said, LegalZoom and the larger law firms. Larger law firms have big marketing budgets. LegalZoom also has a big marketing budget. And it's kind of hard for the little guy to compete, even though they may have lower prices and better services and so on. If nobody knows you, then you're kind of stuck. And also their time is very valuable because they bill out at, $200-$300 an hour. So if they have to spend time, setting up whatever, a website and Google Ads or whatever, that sort of wastes a bunch of their time. So they quite like this because it gives them access to people who are tech savvy, who are willing to work with them, even without a face-to-face interaction.
Nobody wants to see a lawyer face-to-face anyway. Once they're there, they realize it's better off on the internet.
Yeah, I know. And that was sort of one of the realizations that led us to this particular market is that you don't often have to meet your lawyer face-to-face. And, we have a lawyer and we barely meet them.
Yeah, I think it's just one of those societal, hurdles that we overcome with time,
Yeah.
Like that was probably unfathomable, 5-10 years ago. And now it seems like, wait, why do you need to go to their office? And
yeah, it's not like a dentist.
Yeah. They're not really getting in there. But I guess my other question is this. I mean, I feel like with the way that the, job market is out there for lawyers, I feel like this, this is sort of a great option for people straight out of law school just to say, screw it. I'm just going to try and, can they make a living, just if they say, oh, I'm just going to go on Law Dingo?
Yeah. It certainly is a tough market there. And I'm not going to claim that they can make a full living just off Law Dingo yet. I think that's where we'd like to go, is where we can bring someone anywhere from one client a month to unlimited clients a month. Right now it sort of supplements their existing practice, but it's certainly a good way to get started as a new attorney, or even a lawyer who is leaving a large practice to start their own firm. And a lot of people are leaving large firms because there's not that much employment in them anymore. We see a lot of sort of relatively young attorneys who are able to advise on, whatever area they happen to be experienced in, and that works out for them.
And I've just been really curious about how you came up with the name for this.
Yeah, I thought about it one day, and then I named the company it the next day. But seriously, there's no real reason. I think like dingoes are kind of like lawyers and that there are these like ferocious animals and they travel in packs and stuff. But mostly it's just a memorable name. I was looking for something that that people would remember and that we could sort of build a brand around and that wouldn't be taken super seriously. Like I don't want it to be like stodgy and like, Watkins and Wilkins or whatever. Like
I get what you're saying. The Law Dingo definitely sounds like a fun.
For some reason people like have trouble forgetting it and that's kind of what we need because we want people to remember when they're in this like weird legal situation that they didn't expect. And they say, oh yeah, Law Dingo. And I think that's oftentimes what happens.
Yeah, no, I think you definitely have caught on to a good name. And I think you've got there's definitely a market there that, I hope you guys exploit because it seems like the traditional paths are drying up at an exponential rate.
Yeah, totally.
And, what now? I don't know if you can tell me, but what now? What is sort of like the? Do you have thousands of lawyers signed up? Hundreds? I mean, where are you in the process? If you could,
yeah,
tell us.
we've got well over 1,000 lawyers across the country, which is about 10 times the size of LegalZoom network. So I think we're the biggest of our kind in terms of an online network of attorneys. Serving consumers. That's what now. Were you inquiring about what next or?
Yeah. What's the plan?
There's quite a few things we're doing. One is just sort of building the network of lawyers and consumers to be able to eventually have a sizable number of lawyers in every area and practice area, such that for anyone in America and eventually overseas or Canada. We'll have lawyers at any time of the day available. As for, sort of the experience, I think some of the things we're moving towards is, one, providing more of like a, hands-on customer support experience where we have Law Dingo representatives working with clients to figure out what kind of lawyer they need and making sure they get the help they need. and making sure that lawyers are treating them properly and so on. I think we need to add that level of engagement on our end to ensure a good experience. We are also moving towards, right now most of the interactions between clients and lawyers are consultations, but we've introduced payments recently so they can pay for services, sign engagement letters to the site, and so on. So we're trying to get, handle everything even beyond the consultation to have services and representation and paid consultations and so on all supported through the platform.
What's the most popular area of the law that people are coming to LawDingo for?
I would say child custody seems to be winning by a narrow margin. You've got a lot of family cases. There's some criminal small business startups.
DeadbeatDads.com.
Yeah, I know. Maybe we'll rename that to say to that.
Yeah, I want to see my son more than once a month.com. Interesting. Very interesting.
Yeah.
Well, listen, I wish you luck. And so everybody should just go to LawDingo if you're looking for an attorney, which is probably not most people listening to our podcast. They're probably attorneys or law students. But if you're a lawyer and, you're looking to supplement your practice and hopefully maybe one day soon replace it, you can check out LawDingo. And if you're a law student, screw trying to get a job at a firm. I mean, let's face it. If you're a law student listening to our podcast right now, you're not a diligent enough student and you're not going to get a job anyway. So get in on the ground floor of LawDingo.
Yeah. Check it out. Be in touch. We'd love to hear from everyone.
Thank you. Thanks, Nikhil. And thanks, everybody, for listening to this week's podcast. Talk to you next week.